Well, it's my great pleasure once again to welcome into the studio a well-known figure around town, Selena Ortega Chilero.
Hi there.
Hi. You're just coming off a major event. We have major events in Palmer every so often, and the Garden Fair, which is engulfs in one way, spreads out from the Palmer Museum of History and Art, is one of those big events. And as director, executive director of the Palmer Museum of History and Art, you play a big role. So taking a deep breath, how did things work this year?
Well, despite the bad, wonderful weather we had with lots of rain, it actually went quite well. We're very pleased with the turnout. Surprisingly, we had a little over 1,000 people come on Saturday,
whoa,
which was quite impressive considering, like I said, the rain, and it just did not let up the entire day.
Well, but to give the rain its due, it did wait until everyone had set up.
It did. The first people were drawn in,
and then.
Yeah, I think we had a good 2 hours after the event started with no rain. It was just cloudy,
mm-hmm.
Where we probably had the most amount of people on the green all at once. And then slowly it started drizzling a little bit, and that was okay. Then it was raining a little bit, but that was okay. And then about the 5 o'clock hour, the sky just cracked open and didn't stop for all night.
Well, we do these shows as a part of a series called Inside the City. And just to remind listeners, some of them may be aware that the Locke Building is there. That's a visitor center. It's a museum. And you do special events. You're responsible for a number of them. What's the relationship of the Palmer Museum of History and Art to the city of Palmer?
The Palmer Museum of History and Art is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have a board of directors and who I have to report to, and then we do have a operating staff. Our relationship with the City of Palmer is we serve as a contractor. City of Palmer provides us our operating expenses to serve as the museum for the City of Palmer and to serve as the visitor center.
Okay.
A huge misconception, though, for a lot of people is they think they provide all of our budget, which is not true. City of Palmer funds are primarily used just for payroll and our insurance. Everything else, events, collections care, printing costs, stuff like that, all has to come from the organization, which is why we have fundraisers like the Palmer Wine Walk and Untold Stories. That's able to sustain us throughout the year.
Oh, and we had skipped right over the Wine Walk, which occurred the evening before the deluge. So talk a little bit about the Wine Walk.
Oh, well, we had wonderful weather for that. So the Wine Walk started last year in 2016. The museum started realizing with all of these state budget cuts and City of Palmer, we were just having their own problems financially dealing with the state budget cuts. We wanted to be able to basically do our share to help sustain the organization, meaning we needed to come up with a solid fundraiser that we could rely on annually to help cushion our operating budget. So we wanted to do something that really kind of tied in with our mission, and our mission is to preserve and promote the history and culture of the Palmer area. So Untold Stories was developed, and as you know, that's more of the history side of things. But we wanted to do something that had a little bit more to do with the art and culture of Palmer. So we thought, what a really great way. Seems that wine and beer are very popular in the Valley, at least events that kind of are centered around them.
Arguably.
Yes. So we decided to go with wine because we were looking for a specific type of audience. And then we contacted the Valley Fine Arts Association and the Valley Arts Alliance. The other thing was, as a visitor center, our job is to help promote the City of Palmer. So we thought if we could get a fundraiser where we benefit from the ticket sales, but find a way to help the downtown businesses benefit as well from that kind of surge of audience, then it would be just a really ideal event. So we contacted several businesses, 7 in the downtown Palmer area, to host our wine walk stops. The Valley Arts Alliance provides entertainment along the way, musicians, comedians. They showcase their wearable art projects. And then the Valley Arts Alliance, Valley Fine Arts Association, excuse me, assisted us with hand painting the wine glasses that we give to our attendees. And the first year was amazing. We sold out in 3 days. So this year, by popular demand, we increased our ticket numbers. We added an additional 50. So this year was 300. And we sold out in about 4 days.
Oh.
And tickets were sold in May.
Wow. So people had to plan ahead.
They did. The great thing about this event is we don't take out any advertising because, as you know, advertising can be quite costly. So it was a completely Facebook-generated event and on through our website as well. And basically what we did is this year we decided to kind of adjust the event a little bit and provide a benefit to our museum members. So if you're a museum member, you had a 3-day head start to purchase tickets. And then we opened it up to anybody who attended our annual celebration that we have in May each year. And then the following Tuesday, we went open to the general public. And it worked out so well that the board has decided to do the same thing again next year with regards to ticket sales, allow our museum members to have the benefit of purchasing their tickets early, and then same thing, sell them on the day of our annual celebration, and then open it up to the public shortly thereafter.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, now you have a little bit of a respite. You're taking a couple of deep breaths, maybe, and the summer is rolling along. And I have noticed walking by the Palmer Museum of History and Art, anywhere in that direction, large white whale buses.
Yes.
And out of the buses come large numbers of people. And I know that we've talked in the past about how many people and so on, how many people typically arrive in larger vehicles, not by themselves, but part of a group or a bus or something of that sort during the summertime?
Most of the tour buses have about 40 guests that they provide their tours for. The smallest are kind of the, I don't want to say short bus, but kind of the more compacted buses that are kind of a combination of a bus and a van. Those usually average about 10 to 12 guests on board.
Okay.
And then we also have people that caravan. There's a lot of caravan tours, people who contact a company, and then they provide a caravan type of structure to their tour experience where there's multiple individual owners of their own RVs, and then they kind of just go together and to certain sites. We get a lot of those as well.
All right. Okay. That sounds reasonable. Numbers. What typically, though, total number, like 100,000, a million, how many people?
Per year?
Yeah.
We average anywhere from 20,000 to about 32,000 a year.
Okay.
Of annual
That's
visitation.
Substantial.
Yes. Majority of them, I would say about 80% of our visitation comes through the months of May through end of September. However, we are open year round. So we've noticed when I became director of the museum, we expanded our hours to be open during the wintertime on a limited basis. We're only open Wednesday through Friday and every second Saturday. But we have seen an increase over the years. People are starting to realize that we are open year-round, and we do try to hold programs throughout the wintertime and the fall, so it just seems to be growing each year.
Okay. And one of the prime attractions I have noticed, because I see many people wandering through, is the garden that is just south of the museum building. Any changes happening with that, or what's the status of that garden?
It changes slightly from year to year. This year they did a huge kind of overhaul of the garden. A lot of the trees, some of the trees in the garden were dying out because they'd been there too long or whatever. So they started pruning them back. Some trees on the museum grounds were actually completely taken down altogether just because they were becoming a hazard. Alicia Green, the head gardener, she tries to maintain the regular garden aesthetic, but she transitions certain plants each year.
Okay.
They used to have a potato patch in the garden, and they're transitioning that to something else. Oh. But of course, I'm not a gardener, so. but apparently it takes time to do, so that's something that they're working on. They have a They used to have a bunch of peony poppies around the Palmer Museum and Visitor sign. However, this year, Alicia scaled that back because we're planning to replace that sign this fall.
Oh, tell us a bit more about the sign. I know that's been in progress as a thought to do something a little bit different. What's the status in terms of where is it in the process, design, et cetera?
Well, as you know, the sign is extremely tall, and it's supported by two really heavy, thick log beams, I guess you could say, and they're planted to the ground, but over the years, it's starting to rot, and there's a wisteria plant that's hanging on the backside of the sign. So if you actually go over to the museum now, you'll notice the sign is starting to tilt, which is becoming a serious hazard. So one of the things that the board got together is to try to figure out a way to change that or fix it. And what the board decided was one of the problems that the museum has had over the years, as you know, is when people talk about the log cabin in the center of town, they call it the visitor center. Half the people don't even know the museum is housed in there. So one of the big problems is that sign. The visitor center sign is very prominent versus the museum is kind of an afterthought on the bottom. So the board wants the new sign to showcase the museum, but also mentioning the visitor center. But they want to definitely showcase the museum, have it priority over the visitor center. So we were in some discussions with some local artists. And one of them is Patrick Garley, who we've worked with on numerous occasions. He's a very big supporter of the museum. And to see what their suggestions would be for a new artistic sign that would kind of showcase the art side of the organization. And what was decided was to have a large outdoor sculpture to enhance our other outdoor displays, but it would be a life-size outdoor sculpture of a 1930s, 40s work farm truck where Alicia could integrate plants each season. And then the side wooden panels of what would be a regular work truck would actually become our new sign.
Whoa.
And then the truck would be elevated a little bit above the ground on rail ties. So it would be a sculptural piece where people could take photographs. It could be still a garden component where Alicia can plant plants inside of it. And then at the same time, it would still be a regular sign to let people know that, you know, we're the museum and the visitor center.
That's fascinating. Now, will this be a created sculpture of a truck, or it would be a truck that is part of a sculpture?
It is going to be a sculpture that looks like a farm truck.
Got it.
The back of the truck will have garden tools, and then there'll be flatbeds, but there'll be hollowed out flatbeds, and that'll be where Alicia will actually plant plants. And then the idea was to have a family in the work truck, in the cab of the truck, driving the truck.
So when do you expect to have this completed? It sounds fascinating. I'd love to look at it.
Patrick's actually been working on it all this summer. He was finishing up his project for the Joe Reddington High School. And now that's done, he's been putting stuff together. The project was slated to be completed August. I have a feeling it probably won't be until September, October. Our hope is to install it before
winter.
The weather goes bad. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's exciting. That's pretty impressive. Now, I know inside the museum, there are always some changes made in the display. You have a basic foundational display, and then you have some changes. What's coming up there?
Right now, we transitioned to a summer exhibit. We had an outdoor exhibit, as you know, Groundwork, was a photography exhibit of early farming in Palmer. It went over very well during colony days, so we installed that for the remainder of the summer. But beginning in August, we actually have a traveling exhibit coming up from Texas. It's called Changing the Face of Power, Women of the U.S. Senate. It's a photography exhibit that followed several U.S. female senators throughout a three-month period. And so the photographs are kind of a personal insight into the women of politics in the United States. So that will be on display. And then shortly thereafter, we have our regular September-October exhibit, Recuerdas, a Day of the Dead exhibit. And then for November through February of next year, we have another traveling exhibit from Lower 48 It's a backstage pass. It's the early images and covers of Rolling Stone magazine.
Ah, okay. That's very interesting. So Mike Malevsky here with another edition of Inside the City. I've been talking with Selena, who is the director of the Palmer Museum of History and Art. And you've made a number of references to the board.
Yes.
How many board members are there, and how does it work that they become board members?
We have seven. There's an eighth seat available. Basically, if you have an interest in helping run the organization, there's an application. You just have to come see me. You fill it out. I submit it to our president, and then it's discussed at the next board meeting. It's quite simple. it's completely voluntary, so you don't get paid for it. You have to come to a monthly meeting. Usually it lasts about anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. A few times it's gone 3 hours. And then just you have to attend and support the events that the organization holds.
Well, thank you for that. Now, the other interesting question has been bandied about. That building is nice, but rather small.
Yes, quite.
What's the progress being made on the longer term question of enlargement or another building or all the rest of that?
It's definitely been on our mind. We started trying to create more of a push and the direction of getting a new building. So last year we got a grant, and we brought up the exhibit designers from Exhibit AK in Juneau. They're the designers that designed and constructed all of the interior collection displays for the new State Museum.
Okay.
They came and spent a week with us, and we did a conceptual design of what we want the museum to be on the interior space, so the collections and displays. We had a survey company come in last summer. They completed a survey of the grounds. Believe it or not, there was actually no survey site plan for the current lot. Yes, I went to City of Palmer, the borough, and nothing. So they came and actually created a survey site plan for us as well. So now if we wanted to build something on the lot, we could. So we have a plan. The board's end game, their goal, is for us to eventually acquire a new building on the current site. Ideally, we'd like to see the log cabin relocated. A lot of people are under the misconception that it's a historic building. It is not. It was built in 1972. However, it's a really nice log cabin.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, when it was built and designed, it was meant to serve only as a visitor center, and a visitor center set to 1970 standards. So we do have a lot of wiring issues, environmental control problems. So a lot of people have suggested, why don't you just build an attachment to it? Well, as you know, there was an attachment built to it, which is my offices now. And although they are adequate for functioning now, they're really not for the kind of plan that we really envision for having a new museum and visitor center. So what we'd like to see is the log cabin relocated and repurposed to something else, so it's not completely destroyed and people can still enjoy that space, just in a different venue. And then building a brand new museum and visitor center on our current site. We really enjoy being and functioning as both the visitor center and the historical and art museum. But we also have noticed, in order to do that, the garden really plays a significant role in that.
Yes.
And to remove ourselves from that location, I think, would actually be doing an injustice to the community. So what we'd like to do is stay on the lot. It's a good size lot, but extend it so that we become kind of like an L-shaped configuration with 2 to 3 floors. And then that way, we are larger, but we don't want to get too large. It's completely unreasonable for us to get on a scale like the Anchorage Museum.
Sure.
And in regards to, we have thought about operational costs. We want to try to keep the same kind of footprint that we currently have, because once we get a little bit too large, we're basically going to ask City of Palmer to take care of us, and we don't want to do that. So maintaining a small history and art museum is, I think, the most ideal for our community. Plus, that's what we're known for being sure. that small, quaint town. So it doesn't make any sense for us to have this really large, obnoxious building in our town. We should stay on the same lot, and I think we can do that. We have had meetings with the city manager and the mayor, so they are aware of our intentions, but I don't anticipate us getting a brand new building anytime soon. The idea is to just kind of start moving towards that and doing the things that we need to get that done, and then revisiting that and seeing if we can actually get somebody to design a facility for us.
Okay. Well, thank you. We've covered a lot of ground. In the last minutes we have, is there anything else you want to point to that we have missed?
No, I just, I'd like people to know that we're working very hard. As you mentioned, our big event is over and I'm taking a few breaths, but I definitely have not stopped. Some of the things that we do have going on that maybe the public's not aware of. Some people know about our historical photo website. Our goal is to get that project started this fall. So I'm currently looking for grants and funding opportunities and sponsors to help support that project. The website will be a great tool for the community. We've also expanded it to include historical oral history videographies to put those on the website. So that's something we're working for with Last Frontier Media. The other thing is we have started to develop our historical walking tour.
Right.
We actually have a map drafted and we have a trifold that we're now giving to the public. So if you want to take a historical walking tour, we have a map for you and some basic information of the buildings. We are in the process of expanding that into booklet form with have more detailed information. And then we're currently drafting the scripts to have an audio tour since we were granted a Rasmussen grant to do that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will go into production this fall and ready and set to go during the winter. The other big project that we have is Brooke Steinke, my Museum and Visitor Services Coordinator, is currently in the process of developing a Palmer Visitor Guide. So a lot of our downtown businesses within the next few weeks will be getting to meet Brooke and she'll get to tell them about that project. And hopefully for 2018, the Palmer will have its very first visitor guide.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to come in today and share this. A lot of new information. It's amazing. A little time goes by, and it's good to ask the question, what's new?
Yeah, it is. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Selena, for coming in and talking about the Palmer Museum of History and Art. We'll be back next week with another visitor.